Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good afternoon. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes, and welcome to the show, everyone.
So this is the Investor Resources live radio program. So you have questions about what's in your portfolio, whatever on earth is going on in the market. That's worth a shot.
I'm not sure anybody knows that.
Well, we're going to try and provide some clarity.
We can clear up part of it anyway, right?
We will just add to the confusion.
One way or the other, yeah.
By the end of the hour, we'll have figured out which answer was correct.
There we go.
But maybe you have questions just because your friendly neighborhood advisor has suggested that you make some sort of change in your portfolio, and you're wondering, is this really for me, or is this really for them? Well, give us a shot at it. We'll see if we can help you clarify that. And to get into the station and talk to us, the number is 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. And while you are thinking of picking up the phone, you should also open up your computer or your cell phone app and go to our website, iriradio.com, and register for next Saturday morning stock market update. We do these on the first Saturday of every month, unless there's a three-day holiday, which happens to be this weekend. So it is delayed until next week. But 9 o'clock next Monday morning, or Saturday morning, we are going to do our stock market update. And the mystery is, what's going to be in it?
Someone should let us know. Yeah, we'll find out later.
We don't update it until the week before the show. And it's a short week for market, so it'll be a little bit more of a challenge. But we don't have a canned presentation that we just repeat every week. Just like we don't have a single canned radio show to put on the air if we just don't feel like showing up.
Some people say it should be canned, but, you know, we do our best. So
so anyway, if you want to talk to us today, it's 800-465-8770. Want to register for the webinar for next Saturday, it's iriradio.com. And if you cannot attend because you have something else that's already on your calendar, register anyway, and we will send you a replay link once the recording has been processed and is available. That way you can watch it on your own time when, like my wife and I last night, looking at the recorded things on our DVR saying, we don't watch that. We don't watch that.
Who recorded that anyway?
Yeah. Well, yeah, she says, that's your show. There I don't want to see that. Anyway, you'll have something else to watch when the DVR looks so depressing. Anyway, a lot of things happen in the market, and they just kind of go on by. And one of those things that develops a myth over time, we hear about it, and we refer to it as financial psychological programming, because the financial industry wants every investor to behave in a similar manner, which is basically, give us your money and don't take it back.
Never call us again. That's it. That's their goal. Give us the money and leave us alone.
One of those mantras is buy and hold. And the bottom line is, there is no such thing as buy and hold. It's a bit of a myth. You know, people can buy things and hang on to them a long, long time. Buy and hold happens with material items. That's certainly the case. I think a younger generation is more inclined to buy cheaper stuff and discard it quickly, particularly in technology. I mean, there's a high turnover in technology.
Sure.
But if you take something like a grandfather clock or a mantle clock, my dad had a mantle clock.
Sure. Everybody had
And I ended up with it. And by the time I got it, a friend of mine father had a repair shop for clocks. This one, he looked a little bit askance at whether or not it was going to be worthwhile fixing.
Do you really want to do this? Do you really want to spend money on this? Right. Yeah.
And when you can go in and fix up the internals, and then most of the stuff was rusted as old as it was. And that'd be one thing, because nobody'd know the inside was clean and new. But the outside needed a lot of repair. And by the time you fixed all that up, you're looking at it and say, well, that's not really my dad's clock after we've replaced this and that. And I mean, it looks a lot like my dad's clock, so it reminds me of my dad. But it's really not.
So many new parts, now it's a new clock. Right. It's different.
And in reality, that's the way corporations are. The new IPO, the initial public offering, comes out with a concept. Schultz did that with Starbucks.
Sure.
You're going to have these living room environments to sit around, a little bit more comfortable than the coffee shops of the 50s and 60s that were filled with smoke and somebody under a blue light strumming a guitar who could hardly sing, but you didn't care. But now you're going to have coffee with a lounge chair and a sofa, and you're going to sit there and read a book and have a friendly chat. Well, that business model has moved on. In fact, frankly, it moved on to China, where it is apparently quite popular right now.
They still do that in China, but the U.S. has changed significantly. That's not what goes on here at a Starbucks anymore.
So the buy and hold of Starbucks that had the initial flair about it and the atmosphere is gone. Management has changed, and the concept of what the business should be has changed. So yes, you may still hold the Starbucks stock, but the business itself has morphed into something else with an entirely new plan for the next decade, a lot of which was driven by COVID.
Sure, everything changed, and quite frankly, that's a sound. That's what a successful business looks like. Things change so quickly these days. Companies have to be very nimble, and they have to move. But like they said, if you bought Starbucks, looking at this, coffee shop where everybody goes and hangs out for a couple hours, and you still have it, you're not holding the same company anymore. It doesn't do that. 80% of the orders are to go. So it's a very, very different environment, and that's why we're saying, buy and hold doesn't really exist. Starbucks is not the same company it was when it came public, and it's going to continue to change, so you're not really holding the same company anymore.
Which doesn't mean it's a bad deal. It just means you should pay attention to what you own.
Yep.
And that 80% number was actually to go in the recent quarter, but nearly half of the orders were made through drive-thrus.
Right.
And Starbucks plans on opening another 22,000 stores this year here in the United States.
I would like to know where. I mean, I think every street corner's got a Starbucks already. I don't know where they're going to put them, but here they come.
Well, and their focus is rapid fulfillment. How fast can we get this coffee in your hand? So my guess is there's a whole lot more drive-thrus, or the comfort sit-down space is probably shrinking,
right,
to get you to move on and go to wherever you're going to go as fast as you can. Because turnover is the name of the game. If you can't turn over your inventory, you're not making money.
You're sitting still. And that's why it's important, and that's why we're bringing this up, is that if you think you're making a buy-and-hold investment, what you're holding is changing significantly, and you need to stay on top of that. And that's true also if you're an index investor. It doesn't matter what you're buying. If you're buying the NASDAQ, if you're buying the S&P 500, they continually change. The makeup changes significantly, especially over longer time periods. But even the short term, things come, things go, and you need to stay on top of what it is you own now. That's what's important.
Well, that's certainly true with the indices, because they have changed frequently over the last couple of decades. And people who think they're diversifying between them have found that, if they've taken time to look, have found out they're becoming increasingly concentrated rather than diversified.
They're very, very similar, and that's why they're moving more, you know, in tandem with each other, and you end up owning the same stuff. Like you said, Don, you're not anywhere near as diversified as you used to be, and you need to pay attention to that. That changes changes your portfolio a great deal, and you need to know what you own. That's important.
So one of the other myths, if the myth of buy and hold didn't catch your attention, the myth of gold as an inflation hedge might.
That's a big one, yep.
let's cover that when we get back from this first break.
Yeah, we're going to go out early. That's unusual. We're usually late, but we can go ahead and go out. I'd like to remind everyone that coming up next weekend, September 11th, we're going to have our monthly market update. To register for that, you just go to IRIradio.com. That is IRIradio.com. Go to the webinar page and give that registration link a click, and you're going to get an email back. And next Saturday at 9 in the morning, just click that link. You'll be live online with us. You'll be able to see our screens. We're going to show you the charts. You're going to be able to see what we talk about week to week, and it really can bring some clarity to your investment and your economic life. And also, we always have plenty of time for all your questions. We get great questions from the people that sign in. So we encourage you to come with your questions, and we stay until everybody gets their question answered. So again, you can register for that at IRIradio.com. If you'd like to talk to us this afternoon, give us a call, 800-465-8770. That is 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Live and local, you're listening to Investor Resources. This is your opportunity to call in and have your questions answered. The lines are open at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Or email your question to help at IRIradio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
So I'm telling you right.
Well, that's true certainly in sports, it's in business, and it's certainly true in the market. And one of those which has a lot of mythology around it is gold, that shiny yellow metal, which, you know, as a jewelry item is pretty nice. But as an investment...
That's what my wife says, yes. bring it on.
If it's gold and glitters, or it's really shiny and reflects light.
It's going to work, yeah.
Like the diamond. Yeah, either one of those are going to be okay. But since the closing of the gold window 50 years ago, when foreign central banks were able to convert U.S. dollars into bullion here in the United States at the phenomenal price of $35 an ounce.
How about that? $35 an ounce for gold. It fixed. That's unreal.
So we have President Nixon to give credit for removing that restraint. And so price did rise. It's 50 times higher than it was that day. And people say, hooray, look at that. Gold is a good investment. Well, it really depends, like any other investment. What is your time frame? What is your objective? How long are you really willing to buy and hold this? Because gold as an inflation asset, if you look at the data, works if you live to be 100.
You know,
and you buy it when you're born.
Yeah, the most popular gold hedge I hear all the time is that, you know, if you bought it, if you had an ounce of gold in the 1600s, that would buy you a really fine set of clothes. And if you have an ounce of gold in 2021, it'll buy you a really fine set of clothes. Therefore, it's a really good hedge against inflation. It's steady. And it's like, well, that's true. If you have a few hundred years in the short term, it's nowhere near as steady.
So even though the price of gold has risen 50 times since 1971, stock market's been a better place to be. Because it has produced since 1971, even though the 70s were highly volatile and most people would have hard time stomaching.
That was a tough time, you bet.
Some of the declines that occurred there, man, they were tough. But for those of you who are committed to buy and hold, not looking at the S&P 500 through all its changes, just hanging on, you could have had a return of better than 11%. fraction over, compared to hanging on to your gold over the same time period, which just barely got above 8. So it's about almost a 50% better results buy and hold stocks than it is gold over a 50-year time period. So where is that myth coming from? Well, really, it's just a function of time. What time period are you investing in? There are times when gold does very well, and there are times when it stinks. And washing it doesn't solve that problem. I mean, it's a figure of speech. That gold, like every other investment, has a time frame in which the reasons for its price to rise are justified, and then there's long periods of time where it makes no sense. I mean, gold recently did have a rally that peaked out last August, and it started slipping since then. And then it rallied again in May of this year, and I had a buy signal, and I bought it in our portfolio. And I was able to hold it just for a couple of weeks, because one of the things that we subscribe to is Warren Buffett's rule number one, do not lose money. And rule number two is remember rule number one. So when it started to give up its gain and risk going negative, it came out of the portfolio. And since then, it has just continued to slip, slide away.
And that's really the important part. People that are, the gold bugs that are out there, gold, it's almost a religion. They're going to buy it. They're going to hold it no matter what, because it's so valuable. And the truth is, I mean, we have nothing against gold at all. We've had gold in our portfolio at times. We don't have any right now, because right now it's not a good idea. And that's the best way really to look at gold, is that it's just like every other asset class. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. But it's not one of those things that should go on your portfolio and stay there forever no matter what. We don't think anything should go on your portfolio and stay there no matter what. If it's losing money, take a break. Move on.
Well, and if you want to know what I think of gold in the current marketplace, I just finished up my end of week risk analysis. And if you want a copy of that, we can send it to you. All you have to do is send us an email, help@iriradio.com, help@iriradio.com, and put gold comments in the subject line. Give me your first and last name. I'll have your email address, and I will ship you a digital copy that you can take a look at. And while I'm on the subject, we just finished up the 401k portfolio reports. And if you're kind of curious to know whether or not your 401k is keeping up with the way we look at the markets, we can give you that report too. Again, all you have to do is send us an email, help@iriradio.com. Put 401k report in the subject line, first and last name in the body of the email, and we will ship that report to you digitally. And you will have a good benchmark about whether or not your 401k plan is actually keeping up with what is clearly possible in today's markets. In fact, you'll probably find it shockingly above your current level of performance. And we do that with a primary focus on risk management, which a lot of people have a hard time believing. But our mantra is, you got to manage risk first. Always. And the market has a lot of risk in it. We're not saying walk away. In fact, that's part of my commentary in my gold report, or my gold comments, is that the market, by most standards, is in a bubble. You look from a fundamental standpoint, you look at the lack of volume and the index still goes up. You look at all the money that the Fed's pumped in. You look at the money that Congress has pumped in and more that they want to pump in. How do you justify the market being this high, and can it continue? Well, now there is a question. We don't know.
That's the one everybody wishes that they knew. And we always say the same thing, is this market going to turn over? Yes, it is. Are we going to have a drop? Of course we are. We just don't know when. We have no idea when. Right now, the market's still going up, so we're in the market. We are trend followers. We are relative strength investment strategy that says, relative to the market, if we can find things that are still doing well, we're going to own them. And until they're not doing well. And we never make the bet. We never say, you know what, this has gone up too far for too long. We need to get out now because it's going to crash, because no one knows that. And so making that prediction is just a huge bet. And we would never bet with our clients' money. We wait and see what the market's doing and follow the money. We can follow the money out of the market. We can follow the money back in.
Well, that's true. And that's one of the primary differences between what we do to manage money and the myth that most people accept, which is that a balanced portfolio is risk management.
Sure.
The majority of people who work with a financial advisor or who go to a website for investment advice end up in a balanced portfolio. Maybe it's not a pure 60-40, but it's usually pretty close to that.
Somewhere around there, you bet.
Well, that's not risk management. What that is saying is the stocks have a lot of volatility, and I want to reduce my exposure, so I'll put less money in stocks, which means I'm also going to earn less money because stocks earn more than bonds over time, not in every time period, but mm-hmm. over most. And when bonds are earning more than stocks, you should own bonds. But the average rate of return that are used to build those portfolios is not reality. Reality changes in the market daily. And most people just don't pay any attention to it. They say, well, you know, the average works out. Well, the average works out if you live a very, very, very long time.
You need an unlimited time frame to guarantee that balanced portfolio, that pie chart portfolio, is going to work out for you, because in the interim you have no idea. It's just like gold. You know, you can say it's an inflation hedge if you're looking at century time frames. Same thing is true of that pie chart portfolio. Unless you have extremely long periods of time, you have no idea what your return is going to be. And looking at those average numbers is just a sales pitch to try to keep you from moving your money. It's like, just leave it here, because eventually this is going to work out for you. And, you know, if eventually doesn't come, doesn't leave before you do, we don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to them. That's just the process, and what your returns are while you're paying them to manage your money does not bother them one bit.
One of the big sales pitches, another mantra in the financial service business, is that you can't time the market, because if you get out, you'll miss the best days in the market.
Always. You hear that all the time.
And that's true. If you're out of the market at the market bottom, you're going to miss the best days, because they occur typically within the first 3 or 4 days of the absolute bottom of a terrible market.
Right.
And you're not going to believe that those are good days or that it's a turnaround. So the statement is true, but it's not followed up with what would happen if I missed the worst days in the market.
There's a thought.
And it turns out that that's a lot more important to your financial well-being than missing the best days of the market. It's more, and back to Warren Buffett's rule one, don't lose money. And that is something that modern portfolio theory ignores. You pick a 60-40 stock bond portfolio and the market goes down 50%, and 60% of your portfolio is designed to go down 50%.
That is so important to remember, that that's the way it's designed. They tell you it's for we're going to be diversified, and that's going to be your risk management. But the truth of the matter is, if the market's off 50%, so is your portfolio going to be off 50%. And that's okay with them. That's the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to lose the money. And that's why we walked away from those pie charts. We're like, no. Preserving our clients' capital is critical to building wealth going forward. If you don't have any money left, you have nothing to invest. So like Warren Buffett says, rule number one, don't lose it in the first place, and you don't have to spend the next 10 or 20 years making it back after you took the big hit. Don't take the big hit. That's critical. That's why we manage for defense first.
Well, and making it back, that raises the other issue. I mean, you still have money in the market, which means you still have more downside risk, and mm-hmm. because you're underwater, even though you may be making something in the current year, you aren't making anything relative to your last high mark.
Correct.
You're still underwater. So as with the tech bubble, it was 13 years before you actually started having net gains if you were a buy and hold investor in that period of time. Now, the housing bubble, that crash, the great financial collapse, that one only took about 7 years before, as a buy and hold investor, before you actually started having net gains. And particularly as you get close to retirement or are in retirement, those kinds of long-term recoveries when you need to supplement your income are not efficient.
They're really not efficient. And those are the things that scare people out of the market. Those are the things that, that make people put their money in the bank account and just sit on it. And that's even a worse mistake, because the market is going to turn around and you need to be ready to go when it does. We are at the bottom of the hour here, Don. Time for us to get out of here for our halftime break. I'd like to remind everyone again, next Saturday, September 11th, 9 a.m., we're going to have our next stock market update. You can register for that at iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. And if you're not receiving our Week in Review, which is our weekly email newsletter, give a little a heads up for what's going on in the news this week, give you some information about what might be important, and more importantly, what you can probably just safely ignore. If you'd like to begin getting that, send us an email. Send it to help@iriradio.com. That's help@iriradio.com. Just put Week in Review in the subject line, and then we need your first and last name in the body of the email, and you will begin receiving that on Monday. Again, if you'd like to call us this afternoon, give us a call here at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'd love to talk to you. In the meantime, we're out for a quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Investor Resources. Check out our website at iriradio.com and log on for a free report. That's iriradio.com. Don and Perry are waiting to answer your questions now at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770.
So was never going to give up looking for an answer. He's got to find a guy and find a culprit. And I, in this last couple of segments, we've been talking about the market, because that's our subject. We talk about the market. And one of those is market risk. Risk is always present. It's either high or low. When it's low, you want to be in with both feet. When it's high, you got to be really careful and have an exit strategy. And the average investor has no exit strategy. And the average financial advisor working with a firm, particularly if it's a broker-dealer firm, they do not have an exit strategy. In fact, I had a conversation yesterday with a gentleman back on the East Coast who's with a broker-dealer, and he said, I can't take my clients and put them in cash. The broker-dealer will be all over my case. And that's true. That's consistent with every financial advisor who has a major firm on his business card. But I was just looking at some of the issues that have to do with risk. We talk about Warren Buffett and his rule one and two. Rule right. One, don't lose money. Rule two, remember rule one. Based on his favorite indicator of risk, which is stock market capitalization to GDP, stocks are in the largest bubble in history. Based on money flows, the amount of money that recently moved from money markets into the stock market set a recent record. I mean, it was a huge amount of flow that came into equities. That's kind of like fear of missing out. I'm in cash and it's still going up. And right. I'm in the bank at zero. What am I doing here? And then stocks, if you just look at fundamentals, historic, even on some of the charts that we look at, I mean, you turn around and say the indices, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, you look what it would take for them to get back to, just say, a 200-day moving average. Man, that drop would cause people to swallow. They wouldn't swallow hard. They'd throw up.
They would bail. Yeah.
They would bail. And yet, we're fully invested in the market. So what does that mean? Well, it means that when you're in a bubble, you can't sit on the sidelines. I mean, after all, Greenspan back in 1996 said this was a market of irrational exuberance. From 1991 to 1997, the market, the S&P averaged 40% a year. And if you listen to Greenspan and said, time to get out, the next 3 years it was up 80% a year. You missed out on the massive capital growth of the 90s, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You can't afford to sit out in a bubble, but you must have an exit strategy.
That's what allows you to stay in. That's what allows our clients to sleep at night, stay in the market, when we can tell them, look, yes, this market is high, it's still going up, but if it changes, we're not going to write it down. And that makes a huge difference in the ability for people to say, yep, let's hang in there.
Let's see. We have, I see Bob from Snohomish here. Let's put him on the line.
There you go.
Bob.
Yes. Did you see my question? Or
What is your question, sir?
Did not. What do you want, Bob?
Well, I had two questions. Does your firm do any tax planning?
Tax planning. We do tax, not per se. No, we don't. We watch tax, the effect of taxes on what we're buying and selling, but we usually make no investment decisions based on taxes. You can lose a lot of ground trying to save money on taxes. We'd rather make a lot of money and pay whatever the taxes are than get the lowest tax bill. We want the highest return for our clients and the best total return that they can get, not the lowest tax bill.
And as far as any other kind of tax planning, we don't do that. We do not do financial planning anymore. We manage money with our primary objective of let's make good returns and let's not lose it.
And so your firm's minimum requirement for management is how much?
We have several different accounts, but the base account's $100,000 minimum. And that's a 1% per year fee. We have some other models that have higher minimums. And if you go to our website, iriradio.com is a shortcut. Down at the bottom in some red letters, you'll see ADV Part 2. You can download that, and I think about page 10 or 11, you'll find the breakdown of the portfolios and the different fee structures. We are always and only a fiduciary in our client engagements because we sell nothing. We don't sell insurance. We don't sell long-term care. We don't sell real estate. We don't sell stocks. We don't sell mutual funds. We don't sell cars. I mean, all we do is take client engagements to oversee their portfolios and manage them with exchange-traded funds.
And we're fee-only. We're completely commission-free. So the only way we can ever make more money on your account is if your account is worth more money. So we're on the same side of the table.
So that's a good question. Thanks, Bob, for calling. Thanks for being out there. Register for next week's webinar. You'll learn more because it is designed to make you smarter. Even if you don't use us, it'll at least make you more aware of what you should be paying attention to in the market. See, we have Ken from Monroe on the line. Ken, are you still there?
I am.
And
go
your
right
question,
ahead. You
sir.
Are on the air.
Okay, well, in March, April, and May of last year, I started putting all the money that I had, not all the money I had, but money that was basically sitting in the bank, making nothing. And I started buying government-backed single-family housing REITs. I am now 60% above my purchase price, and I'm making 15% on the money that I invested in those REITs. But I'm wondering what my downside is, because right now there doesn't seem to be any.
Yeah, you're looking pretty good there, Ken.
Well, Perry, we just had this discussion on Tuesday in our advisor webinar, and you seems to me you did the summary on that.
Yeah, real estate. Yep, it's still looking very strong. It's in our portfolio also, and it's it shows some signs of weakening, but then it strengthens again before it would be time to pull it out. So right now, from our point of view, it looks like real estate is still a very good place to be. It's still profitable. It's still hanging in there. The downside is, of course, is that real estate, like anything else, just like gold or anything else, any other sector, real estate comes and goes, and it can move very, very quickly. If you know, right now in real estate, you know, 2008 is a distant memory, and people forget how quickly things can go south, and that's the primary risk. When a market that's very high and has been moving very, very quickly, when it moves, it can move south just as fast. And so you need to really stay on top of that. We watch, you know, every day. But right now, we still have real estate in the majority of our portfolios.
So,
however, government backed securities, you know, I mean, government backed purchases of single family houses. I still can't see where the risk is.
Well, the government's backing the debt on that.
Yes.
So do you have a mortgage REIT or an equity REIT?
These are mortgage REITs.
Okay, so your risk then is tied to interest rates. So if interest rates start to rise, then your mortgage valuation in the current market is going to be discounted. However, in the current, because it works like a bond, yep. Bond values are math. It has very little to do with investor opinion. It's math. And if interest rates rise, the value of the bond goes down. It's a teeter-totter. If interest rates fall, the value of the bond goes up, or your mortgage. I mean, there's like a little bit of difference in math on mortgages because of the monthly payments and the amortization, but essentially it's still a teeter-totter. So your real risk in mortgage REITs is, will interest rates rise? And your 15% return most likely includes principal and interest, that part of the money that you're receiving is principal payments on those mortgages. It's not all interest, because that's not, particularly last year, that's not the rate of return that you get on an interest investment. So your cash flow may be that, but a lot of that is giving you back your investment dollar. Now, will interest rates rise? Most people believe they will. The Fed says they will. Now, I happen to believe that the Fed happens to be in a box, painted themselves into a corner, and they are absolutely scared spitless about what happens when they start slowing quantitative easing, or called tapering. They're afraid, as happened the last time, the market will drop 20% in a short period of time, in which case they get calls from politicians, and certainly aren't going to do it before Chairman Powell gets reappointed. I think that's next February. So if it's going to happen, tapering is deferred into next year. Though there are some non-voting members on the Fed who disagree with him, and they will become voting members next year. So things could change. Raising interest rates is your real risk. And personally, this is personal opinion, I think it's going to be really hard for the Fed to raise interest rates, because they have been following since almost forever, but certainly since the great financial collapse in 08 and 09. I'm a decade off.
Yeah, you're
or two. In any event, since then, the quantitative easing and lowering interest rates, they've been following the Bank of Japan model. The Bank of Japan, since 1989, has been trying to get out of this box into which they painted themselves in a corner, and they have managed for a brief period of time to raise interest rates from below zero to the phenomenally high return of 0.5. And it lasted for 3 months, and they caved, and they dropped interest rates below zero again. And the Fed is the same place. Now, Bank of the ECB, the European Bank, Central Bank, has been maintaining negative interest rates. They can't figure out how to get to zero. We are the only central bank of any major size that has been able to maintain rates above zero. Now, some of the smaller central banks, I think Norway and Russia, recently raised rates by 4.5% in one day. I mean, that's a huge jump in interest rates, but they saw inflation. They see current inflation and say, enough of that. The Fed says, inflation, yeah, it'll go away. You know, go to sleep. It'll go away. And what he's talking about is not the inflation itself. He's talking about the rate of inflation that is increasing so rapidly will slow down. But the rising prices you're seeing in your household budget, they aren't coming back until we have a major collapse. That would upset them, and that would take them back down. So your risk is interest rate risk, sir. And okay. Frankly, I think in the near term, that's a really low risk. But that's what you should be watching for. If you see interest rates actually starting to creep up, it's going to show up in the value of your mortgage REITs.
All right. Thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome. You have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Don, we're at our a little late for our break here. We'll go ahead and get out of here. I'd like to remind everyone that next Saturday, September 11th, we're going to have our monthly market update. That's 9 a.m. next Saturday morning. You can register for that at iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. If you have a question for us this afternoon, feel free to give us a call, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
This is Investor Resources, the program that sheds new light on your investment strategies. The lines are open at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Or email your question to help at iriradio.com. That's help at iriradio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Well, hopefully by the time we get done with today's show, you'll be able to see more clearly about the market. If not, you'll be more confused. And if that's the case, you can give us a call during the week at 800-317-9119, and we will try to clarify whatever we manage to muddle during this hour. One of the other ways you can get unmuddled would be to register for next Saturday's webinar. Do so at iriradio.com. That's iriradio.com. And while I've been sitting here, my screen's been popping up with people who have been registering.
They're very
getting
good.
Ready to get smarter next Saturday about what's going on in the market.
Yeah, we get really great feedback on those market webinars. We always get great questions. They're well worth your time.
Well, one of the things that we were just talking about with Ken was the danger from an interest rate change.
Yes.
And actually what has happened with the low rate environment is that Chairman Powell at the Fed has managed to force people into higher risk investment decisions. I mean, back in the Great Recession, at the beginning of it, interest rates were 6%.
Ah, the good old days.
6%.
Imagine that.
And now you're lucky if you can find 0.6% for a year. That means I need to go find something else to do with my money because it's essentially sitting around. I mean, I could put it under my mattress.
Correct. And it's such a big switch for so many savers. You know, you've been saving your entire adult life for retirement, and then when you get there, you want to throw everything in something. Your perception says it's lower risk. I just want to make 4, 5, 6% and forget about it. And now it's gone. There's nothing there. There's not even, you know, it's tough to find a bond or a bond portfolio that'll even keep up with inflation right now, let alone make any money.
Well, on an inflation adjusted basis, returns are negative.
Negative. Yeah, that's tough.
And that doesn't count taxes, which makes it worse. Anyway, when you turn around and you take a look at what's happening, that's these low interest rates are one of the reasons people have been putting money into the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you turn around and buy a quality bond And that is, that's not much better than the bank. So people have gone to high yield bonds.
Not so high quality bonds, yes.
those are bonds issued by companies that are on the verge of bankruptcy.
Thank you.
Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah.
What? Me worried.
What could go wrong? And people are just, it's called reaching for yield, and they just see, well, I can make 4% over there. I'm just going to go buy those. And there is a substantial risk of failure in that bond market.
4% and bankruptcy. What's not to like?
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
So maybe I should buy a stock where at least the companies are making money. I mean, we know that their earnings are okay. I mean, at least they are for the time being. So that's driving money into the stock market. And where does it go? Well, it goes primarily into companies with which we have high familiarity because we are buying stuff from them regularly and we see the boxes dropped off on our front door every other day.
So it must be good. Yeah, it must be a good thing. Let's get some of that. That's right.
So, in fact, that company has a ton of cash. I mean, they're not going out of business anytime soon.
No, they're struggling with the bond conundrum like almost no one else. They've got a gigantic bond portfolio, and it is tough for them to make a dime on it.
Well, that's true. I'd forgotten about that. But they actually have one of the largest bond portfolios
on this planet. Yep. Yeah, it's enormous. Yes,
it's huge. It's what do you do when you have too much money? And that's one of the conundrums for government and the Fed. One of the assumptions back in COVID days, beginning of COVID, was if we give people money, they'll go spend it. So Let's give them a lot of money to keep the economy going. Well, that hasn't happened.
Imagine that.
You know, so some people went out and spent the money they needed to. And then the government said, oh, and by the way, with this money we're giving you, you don't need to pay rent or your mortgage payment. We'll let those rich landowners and nasty bankers, they'll figure out how to survive. And if they don't, it serves them right.
We didn't need them anyway. That's right.
That's right. Anyway, that free money's coming to an end. And all of a sudden, a lot of people who had money to pay rent have found out that not having done so has consequences. And now we're going to get a lot of sob stories in the news in the next couple of days or a week or so. But what's happened with the Fed is that as they've pumped money into the market, so to speak, the one percenters didn't need it.
Unaffected. And so
we have people who actually need to do something constructive with their money having no choice but to go to stocks. And yet the wealthy people who have the bulk of it, they're not buying stocks. They're buying more tax-free bonds because they don't need more risk. They already have all they need. And if the market goes down 20%, it's not going to change their lifestyle.
They'll be fine.
Goes down 50%, it's not going to change their lifestyle. For you and me, that's a big deal. That's why we pay attention to risk first in all of our managed accounts. We don't want to lose money like we did in the last bear market collapse.
Sure. We don't care how old you are either. We think that's true if you're 18 or if you're 108. It doesn't matter. You shouldn't take that big hit just because you're young and say, well, I got plenty of time to make it up. There's no reason to do that. Preserve capital, put it to work when there's a reasonable chance for you to make money. In the meantime, preserve that capital. That's the key.
Absolutely. Warren Buffett, rule one, don't lose money. Rule two, remember rule one. And for the average investor, those two rules are absolutely ignored. I mean, now they don't want to lose money, and they think that the financial services industry has spent a lot of time researching history and knows not to lose money.
And they're looking out for them, yeah, which is just not the case.
Except they're using long-term averages and saying, well, you're a long-term investor, so you're going to be in here for the long haul. Well, the long haul is 80 years plus to make those averages work, and that's not your lifetime. I mean, you don't start saving money seriously typically until your late 40s or early 50s when the kids are gone, and then you've got some deferred spending, and then you start saving money because retirement's getting pretty close. And now that you're there, you're saying, I can't afford to lose that. So how is taking 40% of my money out of stocks to put it in bonds at next to zero, or if I'm lucky, two. How's that going to work if the market goes down 30 or 40%, as it did last February and March with the pandemic, dropped 34, the S&P down 34% in 6 weeks? Well,
ouch.
We happen to have been fortunate enough that with all the government pumping of money, it recovered fairly quickly. If it happens again, do you think they can afford to, can we as taxpayers, can we afford to have them do that another time anytime soon?
That was a lot of money. Yeah, it was a lot of money.
I'm not sure we can afford the next bill they're trying to consider in Congress.
Right.
You know, we managed to expand the federal debt in ways that are beyond our imagination's ability to comprehend, and they want to do more of it. And our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren are going to be suffering that consequence. And your portfolio is subject to risk. What is your exit strategy? It should be defined. Ours are. And if you want to know how that works, you can give us a call at 800-317-9119 during the week, 800-317-9119. And Lord willing, we'll be back next week right after our Saturday webinar. Have a great day.